Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Decoding Crypto. Jace, welcome. Really excited to talk all things crypto with you again, mate.
Likewise. Glad to be here.
What's good about this episode is we have, in the past few episodes, nailed some of the fundamentals. We've introduced crypto to our listeners and we've really built up the scene. And luckily for us, the markets have just gone absolutely madness. It's a sea of red. So we've got a lot of news items to talk about, don't we?
Today's a good one. It's been a big week in cryptocurrency. We had the big crash and then it crashed again and everyone's freaking out. So that's the teaser. Are you ready to talk about that?
Yeah, let's do it. But before that though, we have a question which we'll get to from Cam, but we must say that we're not financial advisors and everything we talk about is general information only. So please consider speaking to a financial professional before making any investment decisions. Now for Cam's question. Hi, gents. Great pod. Thanks very much. Looking at investing in this space, and whilst your material is fantastic, can you please give some examples of exchanges and wallets to use? Really good question and a very good beginner question. So, Jace, do you want to start it off with a couple of examples and I guess a thought process that we've had picking exchanges, wallets along our crypto journeys?
Yeah, for sure. When I started, I was using a company called CoinJar. And now I use SwiftX and CoinSpot and Independent Reserve because the fees are a little cheaper and they have a wider range of cryptocurrencies. So that was the main reason for those. What do you use?
Yeah, no, very similar. Actually, you've said everything I used. I think I first stumbled across CoinSpot because it was a Melbourne-based company, not Melbourne-based. So I kind of like thought that was good. CoinJar is the same. But like you, a bit of SwiftX, Independent Reserve.
And there's new ones coming through all the time as well. So just keep an eye on fees and which cryptocurrencies they offer, because that's usually a big one. You can spend all this time setting up an exchange and then they just don't have the cryptos that you want.
Yeah, I know you and I, we both have different exchanges to maybe jump between each one, or so we're not caught up. We talked in our other episode about takes a few days, you know, for the verification and all those bits and pieces. So we have a few, so we're not, you know, waiting on that process. Yeah,
and on the fees to transfer out, the other part of the question was around wallets. So when I'm looking for exchanges, I want to make sure that their transfer fees reasonable as well. But in terms of wallets, give us your hot wallets and your cold wallets.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one, that, because I've used hot and cold. I mean, Ledger Nano X is a cold wallet or an offline wallet. It looks like a USB. If you just Google that, you can see it looks like this fancy USB. That's probably one of the popular ones in the crypto space to store your crypto offline. Is that something you've used before as well, Jace?
Definitely. Yeah, I use that one because I can then stake cryptocurrencies with it as well, which we talked about in previous episodes, to get that passive income on them. And for something hot, like a hot wallet that is a little easier to set up, that's just like downloading an app, I'd use Exodus or crypto.com. Yeah, you got any others on there that you like?
Nah, mainly those ones we've talked about. I found Exodus to be quite easy to use. Like you said, just download an app. Really easy to copy addresses and stuff.
There are so many, and there are a lot to do with heaps. Ethereum-based tokens you can get. Oh, and your DeFi wallets as well. So keep that in mind if you guys are looking. You know, I'm just looking at other ones like Engine Wallet and Bread Wallet. And yeah, we could go on and on and on. There's a lot there.
Exactly. One thing I do want to mention though, still on the wallets, the cold wallets, is they're actually quite expensive. Like a Ledger Nano X is about $200, I think, Aussie dollars for one of those. Yeah. And a Trezor Model T, which is another company, another brand, I think they're even more expensive. So they're quite pricey, these cold wallets.
That's just for security though. So you just got to weigh that up.
Yeah, exactly. I hope we helped out Cam and any other listeners. Thanks for the question. And don't forget crypto@novapodcast.com.au for any questions. Now let's get into some of the big news, Jace. I know you're like being itching. I can see they're just like pumped to talk about some of this. It's been a bloodbath on the crypto markets the past week, hasn't it?
It's been absolutely amazing. And we have so many of those crypto terms that we can throw in now. We got buy the dip. Are we going to hodl this? Is this going to the moon after this? Or is this just a complete bear market? What's going on?
Oh, yeah. Yes, exactly. Hopefully, our listeners are just dotting in their I's and crossing their T's with those words, because like just since the 1st of September, so about 2.5-3 weeks, Bitcoin's down about 17%. And there's other coins out there that have, you know, 30-40% down. It's a pretty wild space. And it's really funny to obviously, you know, you make a lot of crypto vids, Jace, but a lot of that doom and gloom's back. A lot of the, you know, the crypto markets are dead. These markets are dead. Just trying to get those views. So what light can you shed on it for us? Like, what's going on out there? Let's kick it off.
Well, it is definitely like that because that gets the views. It's just
it does,
crypto
doesn't
crash,
it?
Bitcoin crash. I am definitely guilty of using some of those headings and
you heard it here first.
Exactly. Look, people always ask why, and you never really know beforehand because this is news that comes out after the fact. So you can kind of make an understanding of it once the events happen. But you know, from my content that I put out on YouTube, I look at a lot of charting. And so we were looking at this thinking something's not right here in the chart. We were specifically looking at like the volume, how much activity is on in the market, and just how the Bitcoin price was just falling short of some of those targets we were looking at. And so we thought something was on. And then we get the news later about Evergrande, which is a Chinese property developer, the second biggest in the country. And that sort of then flows on into the US stock markets because some of those big investment funds in the US are invested in Evergrande. So it's just having this flow-on effect. And then because crypto is deemed risky, well, people start to sell off their riskier assets to hold it in cash until the dust settles and they can figure out what's going on.
Yeah, that Evergrande stuff even obviously flowed here in Australia because we're big exporters of iron ore, and so a lot of our market is made up of companies, BHP and the like. They've been heavily down. You know, this news is pretty big and does affect those markets, so we're even feeling it here in Australia a little bit. We're obviously led by a lot what happens in the US. But that's been big for even stock investors. I know we're more crypto, but it's really interesting to see how they all link together. And like you said, I mean, we talked about in a previous episode, wild swings on crypto. You know, it can be down 60% and then all the way back up 80%. Like, there is a lot of volatility. And yeah, like you said, crypto is probably the biggest hit, I would say. I mean, my crypto portfolio has been just smashed.
But are you buying the dip? That's the question.
Well, yeah, I am. And this is probably brings it to another point. It's like, I am buying the dip. You know, I like to make regular investments. We can probably introduce another term. I know you'll probably like this one, Jace, dollar cost averaging. It's kind of like what I do with my stuff. So whether it's high, low, I like to keep a consistent thing. But for sure, it's a bit on sale. Red across the board means my buy orders can get filled. So got a big smile from ear to ear. What about you?
I'll do similar, but I like to dollar cost averaging on my long-term positions on the big red days. And I don't like to buy the top. So like, I won't just buy every once a week or once a month.
Yeah.
I always wait for those big red days and then I'll have my plan to say which days I prefer. But that's like getting a little bit more technical. You guys can,
it is, yeah.
Yeah, we can talk about that another episode. But in terms of the dip, why would we be buying this dip and not another dip? Or a better way to put it, wait for it.
I'm waiting.
Is this the big bear market? Like, why are we buying this dip if we think it could be the major bear market?
It's,
that's a tough question. I know.
That's a tough question. You've put me on the spot here. I'm like, wow, how do I tackle this one? But I'll bring it back to, you know, if it starts to go on sale in quotation marks, dollar cost averaging, I don't want to say we go for a bear market for 2 years. Let's say I don't want to put all my capital this week. So I might $100 a week for, you know, 4 or 5 weeks. I'm just making up examples here. But
sure,
if you can start to catch it on the way down, you know, it's better than trying to time the bottom because you might miss it. The ship sailed, we're going to the moon, and you've missed out and you haven't got on that boat, or haven't got on that rocket, I should say. So for me, that's kind of like how I'm thinking. It could be the start of something bigger, but I don't want to miss, you know, if we do go back up at some point.
Yeah.
How was that one? How was that? Did I pass the test?
Oh, you passed. I like to look at it like that and talk about it, especially if someone isn't watching the markets all the time, which, you know, I guess maybe some of the guys are listening to this, they're not watching it day in, day out because they've got other things to do. But when you see those good red days, it just looks like it's on special, so you can get it.
Yeah.
What else are you getting that's on special? I know I threw a ton of questions at you, but what else would you be looking at getting on special?
I was just going to say, yeah, Jay, some of us aren't studying the charts 24/7. We do sleep eight hours a night. Just
yeah, I mean, if people could see me, it doesn't look like I sleep that much. But that would be the baby. I'll blame it on the baby.
Well, that's actually a good question, though, because I'm going to throw it straight back onto you. But Solana's been a really interesting one to follow the past couple of weeks. A huge run-up, a lot of good news has come crashing down a little bit. I know we've talked about FTT, which is another – you know, another coin out there that's been doing some pretty big stuff. So those two are probably on my radar, not advice to buy or anything, but, you know, becoming a little bit more attractive after their all-time highs, which is another word our listeners will be familiar with. What about you? Have you got your eye on anything, watching anything closely?
Yeah, I would be similar. I'm probably holding off on Solana at the moment just because it's had such a massive run. And I usually expect them to come back a bit harder. But FTT is looking okay. But if I think of my long-term portfolios, if I just keep it nice and simple, then I'll just be looking at Ethereum. So every time I see like nice big red days, big, big red days, I just, you know, throw a little bit more in there for my long-term position.
I agree. I tried to be a little bit creative, but you've outclassed me here on the wiser mindset. Did you want me to say Dogecoin or something?
Yeah, exactly. It's all about gambling in crypto, right?
Do you want to give, I know it's a bit of a curveball as well, but Ethereum, we haven't really talked a lot about Ethereum on the podcast. It's kind of been Bitcoin. Do you want to give a little bit of a quick overview as to what Ethereum is? Because it's quite different to Bitcoin.
Yeah, we'll keep it simple because we'll probably do another. Yeah, we'll do another episode on it. But it's you've got Bitcoin, which is the first cryptos that came out, or the first crypto. And then you had the next generation, which is Ethereum, which does smart contracts. So you can kind of think of it like programming if-then type statements into it. If something happens, release these funds. And so you're able to program stuff on Ethereum, which makes it like the internet. That's kind of the angle that they're going with. Yeah, whereas Bitcoin is the store of value. It's like gold. You can't do anything. You can't program it to do those certain things. But there is more to it. Things can be built on it, but that's for other episodes. But that's just a high-level look at the two differences. Markets are red. How do you like to approach this, Justin? What do you like to do emotionally?
Yeah, I get a tissue box, go in the corner and cry for a day or two. That's the way to handle that.
That's what most people do, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's my first instinct. But like we've talked about, the second instinct is probably just to take a longer-term picture. I mean, look, I said at the start, Bitcoin's down 17% just in September. But over 12 months, Bitcoin's up 300%. So I like to bring it back to the long-term picture, think about why I made an initial investment, what's my thesis on it, really draw it out and think, hey, you know what, am I trying to get rich tomorrow when I wake up? Which personally, I'm not. Maybe listeners are, that's up to them. But for me, it's more of a long-term vision. So I just like to remind myself, it's a marathon, not a sprint. These are opportunities and, you know, this opportunity might not come again. What about you?
True. Yeah, I tend to do the same as well. And I really like those red days. Mentally and emotionally, it's hard, especially for new people. That's like the biggest question I always get at these times is they're just worried that they're going to lose everything. And you just have to look back and go, is it possible that I lose 100% of what I have put in considering where the market is now? It's very unlikely you lose 100%. It's more likely you would lose all of it transferring it to the wrong address. Yeah. There's a much higher probability than that if we're looking at the majors, right? So in terms of an emotional stability point of view for investing, you just got to close that screen down and walk away if it's really getting to you.
I will say the first time though, my crypto was red for I think longer than like 4 days, I did sell. So not all of it, but a portion of it. So I can relate to like new investors and the emotions going through because it's definitely not what has happened the past 18 months. But just on a personal note, yeah, I did get a little bit scared and hit the wrong button on purpose. So
I'm sure we've all done it. I definitely remember doing that years ago. Definitely. And then over time, you're just like, wow, oh, how stupid was I to do that? I think I did it when Bitcoin was back in 2017. I had a little bit. It must have been the first run up. Maybe it was April or something. And I think it was like $1,800. It went from like 2,700 US to 1,800. I was thinking, can this thing go any lower? I don't want to lose any more. Like I didn't sell all of it.
And it's not like you're the guy who paid for pizzas with 10 Bitcoin, you know, 10 years ago, whatever it was. They'll be worth a
10,000 Bitcoin, like that. Yeah. That's crazy. No.
Anyway, Jace, that was a good chat about the market, what's going on. And thanks, Cam, for your question at the start of the show. Really appreciate it. We'll see you next week for another episode of Decoding Crypto. See you, Jace.
See you then. Thank you.